Welcome to Dr. Carcass Breaking News Updates this date, May 10th of 2023, a glorious day for Datsun 510 owners, such as myself, my very first race car, and a fun car indeed. NADA's financial profile of franchise dealers shows that inventories rose in 2022, while the average number of new vehicles each salesperson sold fell. Now, the prices climbed also about 9.2% to a average of $46,287, the report found. EV sales were up about 61% from 2021. The forecast for 2023 is about the same of 2022 overall numbers, maybe just a slight increase in sales. The reason? Well, it's the economy. People are a little nervous about interest rates and also going into debt. A communication disconnect is ailing the service advisors and techs in the car industry. Ducker Carlson research shows that technicians say advisors do a poor job communicating with them, but advisors say they do a good job communicating. And this disconnect has led to lost revenue and job dissatisfaction. Now, there's a scale of which I have no idea how they measure it, other than just I'm angry at you and you're angry at me, that states, in this case, there's a negative 55 rating between auto techs and advisors. Now, those people, just FYI, in case you did not know this, the advisor talks to the customer, and then the advisor talks to the technician. The technician doesn't talk to the customer, per se, and the advisor is the go-between. But the advisor is selling the job. The advisor is telling the technician what he needs to do. The technician is telling the advisor what really needs to be done. And the advisor is having to talk to the customer. So if your middleman is not able to talk to the customer because the technician's not talking to them or vice versa, oh my goodness. So it has really caused a logjam in dealerships trying to get work done. Well, New York City is battling Hyundai and Kia thefts with AirTags. Now, a lot of you don't know this. I have stayed away from it because, quite frankly, my mischievous side would probably try this on some friends' cars. There are TikTok videos that show how easy it is to steal many Hyundais and Kias using a USB cable and other common tools. And as an example of how easy this is or what this has done to the effectiveness of theft that is related to Hyundais and Kias, in 2022, 819 Kias and Hyundais were stolen in New York City. This year already, we're only in the middle of May, 966 Hyundais and Kias have been stolen. 20% of all stolen vehicles in the city are Hyundais and Kias. So how are they combating this? They are giving out to the owners of Hyundais and Kias AirTags so that you can use your Apple device, and if your car is stolen, tell the police where the vehicle is, and once you give permission to the police to access that information, voila, they can find your car. I want to stop and pause here as an editorial and state that AirTags and smart tags for Samsung type phones are just kind of an ingenious theft deterrent, possibly, for people stealing cars. Maybe they're thinking you might have an AirTag, but more importantly, it's a peace of mind that if your vehicle is stolen, you can log on real quick and find out where that vehicle is. It costs about $30. That is the Apple product, the AirTag does, and no subscription fee, but you have to have an Apple phone. The smart tags work with Samsung devices and a great and easy way to add theft recovery to your vehicle. I personally have some cars that I am definitely going to get this for. There's other devices out there. There's other subscription services that are out there, but AirTag seems to be very simple. They're very small. You can hide them. You can put them in places where people would never think. They do have a battery replace, but other than that, brilliant. Well, GMC is a breakout year for EVs and key gasoline vehicles in 2023. Now, one of the things that GM has done, along with Ford, as we talked about last news segment, is that they have had to build up their EV platforms. Now, that is the infrastructure in order to be profitable with EVs. This year, 2023, they see it as a breakout year for the EV product, along with some new releases of the Track vehicle that are coming out, and the Buick Envista, which is going to hopefully increase their gasoline sales as well. Self-driving trucks are landing in the crosshairs of California labor's push. The state lawmakers are introducing a law, a bill that is, that chills the ambitions of one of California's biggest homegrown technology industries, autonomous trucking. Now, envision that some major corporations in your state are working on something and you squish them and say, you can't even test them on the roads because we are making these illegal. Now, there's a couple of things that are coming to play here. Safety. The autonomous people are saying that this will save lives on the road. About 5,000 people died last year in semi-truck or big truck accidents with vehicles. They're saying this is going to curtail that or drop it tremendously. But also the Teamsters are saying, no, it's best to have a human being behind the wheel because these are individuals that are trained to get the vehicle where it needs to go and to deliver the goods. So there's quite the pushback from the Teamsters and from the autonomous industries to say to California, you can't pass this bill. I think it's interesting that they're putting a curb on autonomous vehicle driving based off weight, because as you know, there's a Cruise One platform that is being used in San Francisco and has caused multitude problems in autonomous mode, being a robo-taxi. And that is not in the forefront of a lot of automakers right now. They're saying it's a 10-year process before we become truly autonomous with automobiles. I'm not sure how that's different with trucks. And granted, we've got an 80,000-pound payload with trucks going down the highway and a 5,000 to 6,000 pound max, 7,000 pound, depending if you're a truck, it's more obviously a small truck. But a lot of these vehicles are under 15,000 pounds for sure. It's still a vehicle that weighs a lot of weight. Autonomous, it's again a question of, are we going too quick, too fast? Auto industry's hurry up mode is increasing recall risks. We talked about this with Ford, the number one recalled vehicle in 2022. Well, EV manufacturers are under such pressure to speed up their production that software timetables are creating a risk for more vehicle recalls. And these vehicle recalls are becoming expensive. It says here that historically, when new vehicle launches, the engineering of all the components takes many years, and there's significant engineering and validation that goes into every single part. Russman, whose firm represents many suppliers, says that with compressed timetables, there's a greater probability we'll encounter quality issues, and the recall data seems to bear that out. Indeed, software is one of the industry's biggest trouble spots. Also, when software fails, the manufacturers want to go to the producer of the software and hold them accountable. So there's a lot of pressure on the third-party providers of all this material, whether it be software or hard goods going into the EVs. So there's such a crunch, there's such a push. But with this being the case, you and I are the ones that really have to pay for it, because if we have recalls, we need to go back to the dealership to get them fixed. And then what's that timetable look like? We've seen that there's been a delay the last couple of years because of parts availability. Now, if a lot of it's software, we have seen also with Tesla that they can just literally go into your computer, even over the airwaves while your car is sitting in your driveway, and fix the problem. They did that with a window issue that was happening a couple of months back. Just, hey, a couple of thousand cars need fix. Boom. Pretty impressive as far as that part goes. But there is a big push for getting EVs out. There's a big problem with things happening too quickly. Kia will push EV leasing to reap tax credit boom. Now remember, Kia America is unable to sell their vehicles, their EVs, in the United States and pass on the $7,500 IRA tax credit that can go to the potential buyer. Meaning that if the vehicle hits those thresholds properly and the customer, their income is not too high, it all pans out, they can get the $7,500. Well, Kia can't do that because their product is not made in the United States. 50% of it is not in that envelope. So their product right now is being made offshore. They're still bringing them in. But guess what? When they lease the vehicle to a customer, they can discount that lease price, $7,500, and they themselves can bring in the tax credit into their company. That is until 2032, which a provision in the law allows the $7,500 to be used as a discount off an EV's price rather than as a tax credit. and the Made in America banners do not apply. Toyota and Exxon are testing low-carbon fuels in gasoline engines. The fuel blends are made from cleaner feedstocks and could one day cut greenhouse gas emissions from internal combustion engines by as much as 75% compared with regular gasoline. The fuels are very much at the test phase and require government policy support before becoming commercially available. Andrew Maiden, Exxon's Vice President for Strategy and Planning, has cited and said that no matter what you think the pace of electrification transition might be, there will be a billion, if not hundreds of millions of vehicles on the road for quite a long time. And lowering the carbon fuels will be quite important to achieving those greenhouse gas reductions quickly. Well, as the world looks to lower their carbon footprint, auto industry manufacturers are looking to their suppliers to lower their carbon footprint as well. Now, Tier 2 suppliers, that is the manufacturers themselves, are looking at how they can reduce their greenhouse gases in their own facilities. And they're doing a pretty phenomenal job. It's pretty incredible to see. Costs a lot of money as well. But also, they're looking to their suppliers, that would be the Tier 3, and they're going to them and saying, hey, can you lower your emissions as well? And here's the problem, folks. They're saying to their suppliers, if you can't lower your emissions, we have to go to a company that can, because we overall have to report our carbon emissions, not only on our own level, but on your level as well. It all adds up. And are we lowering the way the government wants us to do this? It's a big push. It's a big ask. Some of the ways they do this is by putting up solar farms that are replenishing the grid with electricity that they're using at their plants. They might be doing other things to shut off lights, shut off machinery so that it's not running all the time if in fact it doesn't need to run. I think of the medical MRI machines. I've been told that it costs thousands of dollars to ramp those up as opposed to leaving them on. Phenomenal number. And yet it's very dangerous to leave them on, because if you walk in the room and you're carrying metal, you could get sucked into this thing pretty hard and heavy, and it could kill you. So there's a combination of, can we turn this machine off because we don't need to use the power, or do we need to leave it running, and is it more efficient that way? Industries are dealing with a lot of different things. And again, putting power back into the grid is one way, with windmills, with solar farms, and other things in the industry. But the third-party providers are being asked to lower their carbon footprint and are being helped by these manufacturers. Lastly, the U.S. wants to change how EV fuel economy is being calculated. This is interesting because manufacturers are stating that if you run vehicle A and vehicle B, one with an EV motor and one with a gasoline engine, well, it says that the EV saves X amount of fuel. And if it is rated as high, then in fact, the manufacturer gets credit for that amount of savings that that EV vehicle creates for the manufacturer. Look at it as credits. And we've talked about credits before, but if you have 10 EVs, you might meet the criteria that the government is asking you to have for EV credits. But if you have 5 EV credits, because you only have 5 vehicles that meet the mandate, and you've got all these excessive internal combustion engines that are polluting the air, it doesn't offset. So then you have to go buy fuel credits, and it's a complicated game. It's really not that bad, but you want to make sure that your EVs are offsetting your ICE vehicles, your internal combustion engines. And in this case, the numbers have been so inflated for EVs that the manufacturers have gotten away with selling less EVs according to the CAFE rules. That is the corporate average fuel economy standards allowable. So in one case, a 2022 Ford F-150 Lightning electric pickup was stated to save 243 gallons of fuel compared to a gasoline-powered Ford F-150 and whatever the range was and everything else. And they figured it out, and really it's 63 gallons, not 243. These numbers are off, and they're asking that the standards be changed in order to reflect properly what those EV fuel economy standards should be. That's it for automotive news updates here on Dr. CarCast. We'll be back again soon. Remember, you can catch us on Spotify, Google, Amazon, and always at drcarcast.com. That's drcarcast.com. And can you reach me at daniel@drcarcast.com.